Welcome to The River Trip, a monthly program here on KSJD. I'm your trip leader, Leanne Hill. I'm the program coordinator for Dolores River Boating Advocates, a local group of boaters who are committed to protecting the unique recreation and conservation values of the Dolores River. On The River Trip, we feature stories and current events about the Dolores River. Today is the second of a two-part series on fish stories, and I'm happy to introduce two guests from the local Trout Unlimited chapter, Dolores River Anglers. Dale Smith is the chapter's vice president. Dale's a retired middle school science teacher who taught here in Cortez for 20 years, and he is also an original member of the Lower Dolores Working Group, which was formed to work on recreation management plan from McPhee Dam downstream to Bedrock. Duncan Rose is a former city and county manager. Both of my guests have been fishing for over 55 years. Not only do they have fish stories to tell, but they also have been involved in improving fish habitat and flows in the Dolores River. Thanks for joining us today, gentlemen.
You're welcome.
Delighted to be here.
Well, Dale, I'd like to start off with a fish story, and I'm wondering if you have one for us with all of that fishing experience.
It's kind of a funny story. I used to guide for the Circle K Guest Ranch, and once upon a time I had the pleasure of guiding two gentlemen from lower altitudes, we'll say, and the guy in the front seat was... We were talking, and he said, "Why do you do this?" And I thought the guy in the back seat was going to choke him to death, because I said, "You know, I will put my office up against anybody's corner office in New York City, Chicago, you name it." And he said, "Okay, I get it." The Dolores River is home to me. It's just a really magnificent resource. And I think those of us that live here, sometimes we take it for granted. But it's home.
Well, thanks, Dale. I actually would like to dig into that a little deeper. And I did want to know what brought you to the Dolores River to fish? How did you get into fishing the Dolores River?
I moved here in 1982, and that was as a result. As a kid, my parents brought me here from a foreign country, and we spent our summers over on the Front Range. We didn't visit Mesa Verde one summer, but we had a cabin near Pueblo in the mountains, in the Wet Mountains, and I quite enjoyed it. My brother enjoyed it. It was a great place to spend the summers. We could fish with our dad, we could play, roam the mountains, whatever we wanted to do. It was just a really unique experience. And I said, you know, that's what I'd like to have for my kids. So after I got out of the military, went into teaching in this foreign country, I would interview here in Colorado every summer, and eventually was hired here in Cortez. It's the richness of the resources that we have here, both fishing, hunting, hiking, just being here.
And have you seen or experienced changes to the river since you began fishing it?
I sure have.
Can you tell us a little about some of those changes?
I think our fall flows in the river, our winter flows are quite decreased. I remember when I first moved here, we would get snowstorms Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday of that second week in October, just before the big game rifle seasons would start. And now we get very few of those. We had a very wet monsoon. This fall is the wettest monsoon that we had since I've been here, and a lot of folks say they haven't seen something like that in over 30 years. So that was very unique for us. But that's one of the changes. I've also seen a lot of buildup. A lot of homes have been built adjacent to the river. I see a lot more people in our community that are relying on the water from the Dolores River. I like to think that we all live downstream, and everyone in Montezuma and Dolores County depend on the Dolores River for their water, whether we drink it or bathe in it, or irrigate our crops. We all depend on the river, one way or another.
And with that, it sounds like TU, Trout Unlimited, has been involved in habitat and flow improvement projects. Can you tell us a little bit about how you're engaged in those types of efforts and a little bit about some of them in relation to the Dolores River?
Well, our first boots in the water project, if you will, we conducted this past summer. And some of our members at a board meeting 2.5 years ago mentioned that the Little Taylor Creek trailhead on Taylor Creek was really being abused. People had driven across the creek in four-wheel drive vehicles. They had really torn up the banks. And then once we got up there and checked it out, we found that not only was that happening, but the banks were deteriorating in one particular spot on the stream. It was putting a lot of silt in into Taylor Creek, and then Taylor Creek flows into the Dolores River, the main stem above Stoner. So we said, you know, this is something that we're concerned about because we care about the native trout fishery. Cutthroats do live in that stream, both those streams. And we said, you know, maybe this is something we should look into. So we shared our observations with the Forest Service, the San Juan National Forest hydrologist, checked it out, did some research, engineered the project, and got back with us, and they said, you know, this really is a need. We're going to need these materials, and we'd like to have some help on the ground actually putting these materials in place. And so we said, you know, we can do that. And we had had a fundraising banquet in 2012, and we used money proceeds from that banquet to buy the materials. We were also donated some of the materials that we used. And we want to thank Western Excelsior over in Mancos for providing some of the rolls of Excelsior that we used to stabilize the banks up there. We were also able to stabilize some of the gullies that were forming up there. We moved 10 tons of rock with wheelbarrows in 3 days. We moved 5 tons the first day that we were working. I think everybody was a little sore after that, but it was good, solid work that we were doing for the environment.
That's fantastic, and I'm wondering if it's, you know, maybe it's too early to see the impacts or the positive difference from that, but have you been up there to see?
Several of our members have been up there. I was up there, and we've seen that some of the vegetation is starting to grow back over the bank, so we're getting some bank stabilization. We're also seeing that the amount of silt that's being washed is being decreased because of the way that we put the deadheads into the rock, or these gullies were forming with the rock. And so that was, we've already seen some positive effects of this. And we did the project in June, and already this fall we're seeing some of the benefits of that. So that's neat. We got kind of a preview of it because we had so much water coming down the streams with this this late monsoon.
Oh, that's great. Well, thanks for your efforts on that. We're going to take a station break here. You're listening to KSJD and The River Trip. Thanks for joining us today. Welcome back to The River Trip, a monthly program here on KSJD. I'm here with two members of the local Trout Unlimited chapter, Dale Smith and Duncan Rose. Thanks for joining us. Dale, we were talking about the habitat and bank stabilization project on Taylor Creek. I was just wondering if you could tell us about how these projects relate to flows.
We're certainly going to improve the quality of the flows. By stabilizing banks, we're going to reduce the amount of silt that's going to wash into the river. And nobody wants to play in a silty river, you know. And I think this is one of the common threads that we share with the boaters. We all love the river. I have bragged to other Trout Unlimited groups and other people in fly shops across the West that we've got a really unique situation here. We get along with the boaters. And when the flows are high on the Dolores River, we can't fish, but the boaters can boat. So we don't see that we are competing with the boaters. We see that we have friends that share a common thread, and that is we all love the river.
Thanks, Dale. Well, I'd like to move into another topic here that's related. Duncan, I understand that you've been instrumental in bringing a presentation and a discussion to our community next week about how climate changes or probable climate changes are impacting both the river and the Colorado Plateau. Can you tell us a little bit about the presentation?
Certainly can. We are privileged to have two very prominent, shall we say, experts or experienced folks, researchers, come talk to us on the evening of the 18th, which is our monthly meeting, fall meeting at Trout Unlimited. The topic is one of a series of topics that we hope to hold over the next several years. The topic is understanding, exactly as you've indicated, how climate change will likely impact not only the San Juans, but our trout fisheries. I think it goes back to your first question, Leanne, and that was what impacts Dale had seen over the years that he's been fishing in the mountains. Change is constant, of course, in any environmental system, but I think we're all seeing signs that the change that we've experienced is substantially less than what we're going to be seeing over the next 10 years, the next 20 years, and certainly the next 50 to 60 years. That's a concern to our board, our chapter. We want to learn more specifically about what we can anticipate, not only from an intellectual or a conceptual framework standpoint, but more fundamentally about what we do in those rivers, the very best investments we can to manage, to preserve, to conserve this fishery environment. So I think the short answer to your question is we have two people, Chris Rasmussen and James Roberts. James is with the Aquatic Systems Branch out of the USGS out of Fort Collins. He is presenting his findings on specifically on research in the Upper Colorado River watershed with respect to climate change and our cutthroat population, and specifically what variables are going to be most impacted. Chris Rasmussen is a PhD riparian ecologist. The particularly good news is she's local. She's right here out of the Mancos area. She has done a large number of assessments, and her specific focus is on management techniques that are derived from this. How does that impact the work that we have done, for example, on Taylor Creek? What other techniques should we be considering given the changes that we're going to be looking for?
Great. That sounds like a wonderful presentation. Now, that's actually a TU chapter membership meeting, or is that open to the public? Or
it is definitely a TU chapter meeting, but it is specifically open to the public. The talk on the board right now is that this would sort of be an ongoing discussion, that at least once a year, one of our major program themes would be to bring in outside experts to help us in our continuing understanding. We're trying to build a conceptual framework so that we can understand the incredibly complex interrelationships. You know, as we change the environment, as we change the climate and change the environment, what does that mean for trout habitat? and what does that mean for our intervention? I think Dale hit it dead center, the office, the best office, corner office in the world. That's why we fish. It's not only, as Dale is wont to say, the tug of the drug. The tug on the line from the trout, but it's being in this incredibly beautiful environment. Well, that environment is changing. The sky is not falling, but there are things that are going to be quite different in 5 years, 10 years, and certainly in 20 and 30 years, and we need to understand those things.
Well, I'm really glad to hear that to you and our local chapter of Trout Unlimited is engaged in this conversation and engaged in the work that you're doing. It's really important. Thank you so much. I think I have just one more item I'd like to touch on. It is Veterans Day this week, or we had Veterans Day this week, and I was wondering, Dale, if you could tell us a little bit about Project Healing Waters.
We've been fortunate to participate in Project Healing Waters. Both it was back when we were still a part of the Durango chapter of Trout Unlimited, and it's very rewarding. When I guide, I fish vicariously through my clients, and it was even more so with those who have served us. It was a great opportunity to give back, and those guys, many of them, they're from inner city environments, neighborhoods when they grew up, and getting them into the out of doors is a very special experience. But the quietness and the delicateness of fly fishing that you sometimes are going to encounter helps them to deal with what they've experienced.
Great. And Duncan, would you like to add anything to that?
I think Dale has hit it dead center, but I think it might be useful to simply say that at 6:30 on the 18th at the Fiesta Mexicana downstairs is the meeting. I did meant to mention that so that if the public did want to come, they would know where to go and when to go. We'll be starting meet and greet typically around 6 o'clock. The meeting itself starts at 6:30 and should last about an hour, hour and a half.
Great. Thanks so much. Well, I'm really pleased to have both of you here today. And again, thank you for the work you're doing on the Dolores River and in our communities. You've been listening to The River Trip on KSJD. I'm Leanne Hill, and I'd love for you to join us next for the next River Trip on Thursday, December 14th at 8:30 a.m. And if you'd like to learn more about Dolores River boating advocates and issues involving the Dolores River, please visit our website at www.dolorisriverboating.org. Thanks for tuning in today, and see you on the river.